Hi, and welcome to Discovery Online. This week, our talk is entitled The Shadow of Our Influence, and it's based on Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. It says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail and brought them out. 'Go stand in the temple courts,' he said, 'and tell the people all about this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people." I absolutely love this story. It's just a short little chapter or paragraph in a chapter of the Bible. And quick background, we're talking about maybe just a couple of months from when Jesus had died and was buried and rose again on the third day, and then 40 days later ascended into heaven. And 50 days after that, the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and came upon the church and empowered them. And so we're very close to that period of time in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 5. And during that time, the disciples had began worshiping at the temple court. Now, that wasn't weird for back in the day, because these guys still thought that they were Jews. They just realized that they knew who the Messiah was that all the rest of the Jews talked about but didn't know. They knew him. So they still considered themselves Jews at this time, and they would go to the temple courts every day to worship. And verse 12 says that they gathered in a place called Solomon's Colonnade, or Solomon's Porch. And it was kind of like a meeting place where people could go and hang out while, let's say, maybe they were waiting to go and sacrifice an animal or whatever else they were there at the temple for. And the disciples and apostles found this to be a good place to share the good news and to pray. Verse 13 says that nobody dared join them, and we know why. The Sanhedrin got jealous because of all that was going on. The religious people did not like the Christians, and they were persecuted, and so of course they didn't want to join them. But they were highly regarded by the people. People were reluctant to join them, but they were highly regarded by the people. Why? Well, their recipe for this was simply being good people, doing good deeds with bold faith and Holy Spirit power. They were all out Christians doing the work of the kingdom, and they were very powerful in the Lord, and they were very kind and very good, and people saw that, and so they were highly regarded. And their outcome was kingdom growth. It says that the Lord added to their number daily, even though these people were afraid, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And the impact verse of this whole thing is verse 15, and it says this: "As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." So imagine this. These people thought so highly of Peter, saw him out and about doing the work, saw the power of the Holy Spirit in him. They really believed he was connected to God and had the power of God. And so much so that they thought that they could get their friends and family members healed from whatever they were ailing from or sick from, and that they didn't necessarily have to go up to Peter directly face to face and have Peter lay hands on them or bless them or pray over them. They thought if we just lay our people on the opposite side of the sidewalk that Peter would walk every day to the temple, the opposite side from the sun, then his shadow would fall on our sick and our needy, and they would be blessed and saved just simply from him walking by. That is absolutely amazing. Peter had so much of the Holy Spirit in him that it was like power from the Spirit was oozing out that he wasn't using directly, and these people thought that they could pick some up on the side. And what we learn from this story that is so very important is that people influence people. People influence people. Years and years and years ago, I picked up a book on leadership by John Maxwell, and it was called Becoming a Person of Influence. And in that, he tells this story. He says, and he's actually telling this story about Jackie Robinson. And it says, baseball legend Jackie Robinson noted, "A life isn't significant except for its impact on other lives." Robinson's impact on people in the United States had been incredible. In the mid-1940s, he became the first African-American athlete to play Major League Baseball, despite prejudice, racial taunts, abuse, and even death threats. And he did it with character and dignity. Brad Herzog, author of the Sports 100, identified Robinson as the most influential person in American sports. And he wrote, "First, there are those who changed the way the games were played. Then there are the men and women whose presence and performance forever altered the sporting scene in a fundamental manner. And finally, there are the handful of sports figures whose influence transcended the playing fields and impacted American culture. Robinson, to a great extent, more than anyone else, was all three of these types in one." And so much influence did Jackie Robinson have on American culture that later on, Martin Luther King Jr., who was clearly one of the most influential Americans of the 20th century, acknowledged the positive impact of Jackie Robinson and what he had done to make life and the cause for which he fought. And to African-American pioneer Don Newcomb, Martin Luther King once said, "You'll never know what you and Jackie and Roy Campanella did to make it possible for me to do my job." Influence, guys, it is so important, and we are influencing other people. And it's important to know that sometimes you'll know that you're influencing people. It might be a direct influence. They might come back and say to you in that moment, "Hey, wow, that was really impactful." Other times it may take a while, but we always are influencing people. People are always watching us. They're always paying attention. So people influence other people. And people influence other people whether they know it or not. On page one, there's a story about a man named Jim and his wife Nancy, who had gone to London, England, and it was their anniversary. And he owned a big business, and so they had some money. And they wanted to go, he wanted to take his wife clothes shopping for her birthday. So they bought several items, and she tried on many items. Well, unbeknownst to her, her husband had them package up every single thing that she tried on, and he paid for it, and they took it home. And his wife was, you know, a little bit upset with him for spending that much money on her, but he knew that she would get great use out of all those clothes. Well, when they got to LAX and had to check in and declare what they had, they declared clothes. And it was almost a comical event for the guys who were doing the checking because nobody declared clothes. You didn't necessarily have to declare clothes because that's what people had in suitcases. You know, you declared things like, you know, pottery or something else, not clothes. And so because they declared it, all the guys had to inspect everything and added up the tab of what the taxes for those clothes would be. And it was almost $2,000. And all of a sudden, in a conversation to the side, one of the men looked at Jim and said, "I think I recognize you. I have a friend who works for your company. And he says you're quite a guy. And now I know it for sure because nobody ever declares clothing." As a matter of fact, if you read about how to get over us security people at international airports, one of the things they'll tell you is don't ever declare clothing. They're never going to check your clothes. And yet you declared it and it cost you $2,000. So even though all he did, Jim and his wife Nancy, thought that they were doing was doing the right thing in the name of the Lord, it influenced this guy who watched and saw what they were doing. So we influence people whether we know it or not. And people influence other people either positively or negatively. What do I mean by that? Well, people are watching. And if they happen to see you in one moment, declare you're a Christian, and then the next moment see you in a bad moment when you're having a bad day, and they see, you know, all of that being displayed, obviously, you know, that's why a lot of Christians these days are called hypocrites by people outside the church. Because a lot of that goes on. People are watching. People see. People know that you have a Jesus fish on the back of your car. People know that you wear a cross around your neck. Then to see you turn around and act like just another sinner, they see. So we influence people either positively or negatively. And there's a story on page 27 that is just amazing. There was a nun who was teaching third grade. And it had been a bad week. A lot of things were going on amongst the kids. And so she asked them to take a piece of paper and write all the names of all the students with a space in between. And then to go through and write something that was good about as many of the children as they had something good to say about. And then the nun took this home over the weekend and wrote each individual student's name at the top of the page. And then wrote all of the things that were said about them that were positive to the other students, and the tension that was in the classroom just melted away. Well, years later, they had all gathered because one of their classmates, they had grown up, one of their classmates had been killed in Vietnam. And as they were talking, the student who had been killed in Vietnam's mom said, when he was killed, they found this in his pocket. And the nun opened it up, and it was his list that she had written out with all of the good things that everybody had said. And then one by one, all of the students that had come to the funeral began to admit that they had there. Some of them pulled them out because they carried them with them everywhere. And they talked about how that nun and that moment had so positively influenced them in their lives. So clearly, Peter and the original Christians influenced the people of Jerusalem so much so that they laid their sick in Peter's shadow, hoping that their loved ones would be healed. A positive, positive influence. And that leads us to today's big idea, a big question. Who is standing in the shadow of your influence? And are you influencing them positively or negatively for the kingdom of God? And guys, I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants us to influence people positively for the kingdom of God. Listen to this. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine among people that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Remember when I said earlier of that original group of Christians in Jerusalem that their recipe for influencing people positively was being good people, doing good deeds boldly under the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we have it right here. Jesus said, "Go let your light shine among people that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who gave up everything for us, who died for us, who gave his life for us. He, who loves us so very much, wants us to influence other people positively, positively for the kingdom of God. But how do we get there? Well, I got a couple of next steps to help you along the way. First, I want you to reread today's Bible verses sometime this week. Take a moment, sit down, get a cup of coffee, invite the Holy Spirit to come in and help you understand it, and just reread and meditate on those words. Number two, read the book Becoming a Person of Influence. And if you look down below where I have this week's Bible verses, I also have a link to Amazon where you can get a copy of that. This is one of the most non-Christian influential leadership books I have ever read, and I've used it all along in my entire ministry. I read this at the beginning, so this was 30-some years ago. And this has been a very impactful book. Number three, pray to positively influence people for Jesus. Everything always starts with a decision, a change of heart on your part. you gain some knowledge. Hey, it is important for me to work at being a better Christian because people are looking. And I really want to influence them positively. So pray to positively influence people for Jesus. And then number four, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. And I want to read that to you. Paul wrote, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So, take off your old self, then renew your mind in the Word of God." It's kind of hard to really understand what God's Word is saying when you're filtering it through all that old self sin. So, remove your old self, renew your mind in the Word of God, then put on your new self. You finally make the decision to be the person that God wants you to be. Your new self transformed into the likeness of God. And I guarantee you, if you go through that process, you will so much not be the person you were before that people will take notice and you will influence them positively for the kingdom of God. So reread today's Bible verses, read the book, Becoming a Person of Influence by John Maxwell. Again, that link to Amazon is just below. Pray to positively influence people for Jesus and then be transformed into a God-like influencer and influence people positively for the kingdom of God. And I will be praying for all of you in the next coming weeks that this message takes hold into your heart and you understand the importance of not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Because people are watching. Whether it's the girl at the gas station, your children, it doesn't matter. They're watching. And you can influence them either positively or negatively.